This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hosting season's here. Are your Windows guests ready? Early access to Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale is on now. Save up to 40% site-wide and get a free measure. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing. No showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Early access to Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale is happening now. Shop and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I don't even know if this is true, because I was like knee-deep in chips and salsa, but somebody said that the, and this was on our text line, Gordon's hamstring, thanks 415, Gordon's hamstring was a grade one, and it was upgraded to a grade two after he played.
After he played,
is that true? Is that accurate?
That doesn't sound true. I thought it was reported as a grade two originally.
I thought it was reported as a grade two as well.
All I saw was a little notification that came up. It was like, you know, Gordon is probably not going to play. And then all of a sudden, it was like, Gordon's going
to
play.
Those shams an hour before he had to say, he's actually playing today.
Yeah, I that's all I saw. I have no idea. Grade one, grade two, Nuggets weren't going to win that game anyway. I have no idea.
He said, and this is Aaron Gordon, he said it would have sidelined him 2 to 3 games if they would have advanced, which tells me it was probably closer to a grade one because Steph missed 2 to 3 games. He actually missed 4 games. And he wouldn't have missed more than four.
Four and a half, yeah.
And also, as Doc Pandya has told us many times about this injury, and Steph said it too, first time, so you don't know. And I don't know the history of Aaron Gordon and his hamstring, but it could be like Steph Curry's ankles, where Steph rolls his ankle, and within 19 seconds, he can tell you, if it's a lace him up and play, I'm going to miss a game. This one's 3 to 5. It's really bad. Because he sprained his ankles each probably 30 times.
Right.
So you know, right?
Of course.
But when you have the hammy this for the one, first time, you got no clue.
Yeah, no, that's why he told Draymond walking off the court. I'll be right back. Yeah, in your button-down shirt, you will.
Can I read Shams' tweet from yesterday morning?
Sure.
7 a.m. Shams Charani on Twitter, ESPN. Denver's Aaron Gordon has a grade 2 hamstring strain and needs several weeks to recover from the injury, sources tell ESPN. The Nuggets playoff star has been searching for ways to play in today's Game 7 against Oklahoma City, but it's becoming physically improbable to do so.
Okay. Improbable. Not impossible.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know grade 1, grade 2. I hope I don't hear anybody do the whole... Well, Aaron played, so why didn't Steph?
3 hours later from Shams, sorry. Aaron Gordon will play and start in Game 7 for the Nuggets.
And then that went well. Went well. Okay.
He doubled down on the fact that it was a grade 2, by the way.
Okay.
Yeah, which, again, every individual body part on every individual is different. Fred Warner played 10, 11 games with a broken ankle. And
football player.
True.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's what he did. And, you know, for some of these guys.
Absolutely.
Sometimes you have an injury and guys play through it. Sometimes you just can't. And it differs from person to person and injury to injury and body to body.
Well, and some injuries allow you to tough it out. Others you can make markedly worse. And then there are other times where you're willing to take that chance. And then sometimes you get burned. Just look at the Kevin Durant situation, right? I don't know, man. I don't want this many injuries either. I don't want this many stars going out. I don't think that whatever happened 50 years ago, I don't understand this, but I'm not a doctor, and I don't really know how this all comes together, but it doesn't feel like whatever happened 50 years ago is relevant. I know people love to use this as a thing. It's like they flied coach.
Yep.
And then they would land and they would walk from the airport to their Motel 6. And then they would play every night of the year and the whole season was over in a month and a half. I'm kidding, I'm being sarcastic, but you get it. Like I don't know why that doesn't work anymore, but it doesn't work anymore. Whether it's just unwillingness or unable, I don't know. But that style doesn't work anymore. But I do want to know when the bubble bursts. Again, I'm not saying the league's going to do anything about what Aaron Gordon said here.
Yeah.
But what I am saying is, when does this stop, right? When, okay, now we're going to go from one day off in between games to 2 days off in between games. Are you lessening the schedule or are we playing into July? Like, how are we going to go about doing this? How far does load management go before you're just skipping a month out of the season for fun? You go on sabbatical or something. Like I don't know. Yeah.
It's not even about the regular season because load management has been proven to work. And I don't know if you have fewer injuries now since load management became a real mainstay in the association, but you get into the NBA playoffs and this is where I think it's going to be hard to change because you're not going into July. You get into like late June and it's time for baseball. People are in the summer mode. People want to be outside. People want to go and enjoy, you know, baseball and 4th of July and hot dogs and all the rest of it. So the NBA Finals are a fixed position entity. And it starts this year on June 5th. And then, by the way, Aaron Gordon, if you make it back to the NBA Finals, there's 2 days off in between each of these games.
Yep, and they
build it in that way because they go Wednesday and then Sunday. And then they go Tuesday and then Thursday and then, you know, back on a Monday. They slot these things out in certain TV windows. And so when you start on June 5th, everything has to be backdated, right? So that you end the conference finals no later than June 2nd. If it goes game 7, Pacers and Knicks, that is on Monday, June 2nd. So those teams will have at least 2 days off before the finals. But as you start to go back in time, you have to assume best of sevens and the league's not going back to best of five in the first round.
Nope.
So now we're in a spot where as you go backward and you're allowing for 7 games in these series, you can't really stretch them out any longer.
No, I totally get that. By the way, if you're just joining us, we want to let you hear again what it was Aaron Gordon said after the Game 7 loss yesterday.
Health is a lot, you know. I would really, really appreciate it if there were a couple of days in between games in the playoffs instead of every other day, regardless if you go 7 games. And I understand if you do your work early and you get first seed, then you can have some time off. But I think the days in between games, not just off day and a travel day, but a travel day and a recovery day, just two days, I think the product of the game would be a lot better. I think there'd be just a better product on the floor just to give all these professional athletes just, you know, one more day of rest and you would see a higher level of basketball, probably less blowouts.
I don't know, man. Whenever someone talks, I get it. I understand when they make gajillions of dollars, people hear stuff like this and like, oh my God, what a whiner. Now you need another day off? Like, why can't you use that first day off as a recovery? I don't know. I can't, like, agree or disagree. I've never physically done anything like what they do. I try to relate on some level. I do get the idea of, like, plane flight day is not relaxing. That does not set you up to wake up and feel all bushy-tailed. I mean, I took a three-hour plane flight yesterday. It sucks. It sucks.
Just tires you out a little
bit. I felt exhausted the entire day. I felt exhausted on the plane. I felt exhausted after the plane.
You can't sleep on the plane?
Oh, I totally sleep on the plane. I can't not sleep on the plane.
I'm totally with you.
I bought the Wi-Fi and tried to do work, and I did, like, I was grading papers. I did one paper, and I'm starting to get the elbow in the ribs from Christy. Like, dude, your mouth is open, and someone's sitting next to you, and you're sawing. Shut the hell up. And I'm like, I can't stay awake. It absolutely,
me either, bro.
It zaps you.
Me either.
It completes. So this idea of like, dude, put everything you have physically into an event that happens at 7 o'clock at night, and then probably hurt parts of your body. Stay up late, go to bed, wake up the next day, get on a 3 or 4 hour plane flight, land, study film, get up the next day. I get it. I get it. I'm not trying to make excuses. I understand why they want more time. I just don't. I don't functionally know how you do that, and I don't know why you would structure your advantages for older veteran players. I just don't know why you would do that.
And I'm not sure if that's completely his message. I think it's more about, you know, injuries and having guys get hurt. And I don't know if it necessarily is just older players. Jason Tatum, you mentioned, yeah, is a younger player relative to, you know, Damian Lillard and Steph Curry and Aaron Gordon and all that. But if the players really wanted this, then they're going to need to be open to the idea of starting the season on October 1st. And if not, even before that. So if the players all want this, then you're going to have to stretch that season back a little bit. And you're going to have to start the playoffs in early April as opposed to mid-April.
What if I threw this at you and worked this into the conversation? What Aaron needs is not an extra day off. What Aaron needs is for the league's cap penalties to loosen up. That's what he needs. Do you know what I notice as far as like who's moving forward in the playoffs? It's not about who gets 2 days off in the playoffs. It's about who has good players on the bench. And the more 30-year-old you become, the more expensive you become. And the more expensive you become, the less money your team has to get some good players to stick around you who can give you a 6-minute break, you know, every quarter, to the point where you only need to play 30 minutes a night instead of 40 minutes a night. I actually think that would go further than adding an extra day off and making the TV networks completely just obliterate this entire system. I'm looking at teams that are younger and therefore often less expensive,
cheaper, yep,
and it allows them to build a deeper team. How many players were the Nuggets playing? Like maybe eight.
Generally eight, yeah.
Sometimes,
yep,
seven. And a lot of them have got a lot of miles on them. Aaron Gordon, Russell Westbrook, Nikola Jokic, Jamal Murray has a lot of injuries, even though he's a younger player. But they're expensive because they won a ring, and everybody gets paid. And look at who's left. One, two, three, four teams who've never won a ring.
Right.
Nobody's ever won a ring. And, I mean, I know Shea's making money and all that stuff, but these are still teams that are young in their process and had recent draft picks and have done, give them credit too, they've done a good job of building a deeper roster. Meantime, you got the Warriors over here with two players north of $50 million, and if one of them gets hurt,
yep,
balloon is popped, it's over.
Yeah, you've got no depth.
Nothing.
And as you mentioned it, I was looking at their salaries, and Shea's making 36, Hartenstein, he makes a clean 30. Then you get to Lou Dort, 16.5. Isaiah Joe, 13. Chet Holmgren's only making 11.
Wow.
Aaron Wiggins is making 10.5. Caruso's not even making 10.
There it is.
So you start to,
there's your answer,
you start to tick off all these good players in their 20s making between, you know, like Kendrick Williams is making 6.7. Kaysen Wallace is making 5.5. You've got all these guys between 22 and 28 years of age making between 6 and 15 for the majority of them, and that's the deal. And
yep,
so, you know, that's kind of how you have to build it. You build it that way for the 82-game regular, but then you need to rely on your stars to get those 16 wins in the offs.
Like, what does Jalen Brunson make? What is Jalen Brunson? Jalen Brunson signed a 4-year.
He's making like 50, right?
$104 million.
Yeah, so 51.
No, over 4 years.
Oh, I'm sorry.
$26 million.
But that contract was one of those that was like extraordinarily team friendly.
Well, as it's turned out to be.
Right.
Yes. You know what I mean? I don't think, let me see if that one has if that one's expired. Jalen Brunson's contract. Yeah, 4 years. $104 million. Okay. And then, no, here we go. That was
156.
That's the one that just expired. That one just expired. And now it's 4 years, 156. But still, this year he's making less than 35. Shai Gilgeous, Jalen Brunson, they're making less than 35. Steph Curry's over here making, what, 56? So, and the Knicks, look at the depth the Knicks have. The Knicks have lost Jalen Brunson for a while. They've lost Karl Anthony Towns for a while. Got a bunch of other people that can still score. Like, I just think that they're, like, to me, that's the answer's not another night off. The answer's another 6 minutes off inside the game. But there's too many teams, the top-heavy ones, the Lakers, the Warriors this year. It's like, dude, if you take your star off the floor or out of the game, you suck. Like, immediately. To me, that's a bigger issue.
Yeah, but I do think it's twofold for me. One is, the Warriors have had opportunities to have younger players still be on the team and still be contributing. Now, Jordan Poole I'll put aside because he got a big raise and he ended up going elsewhere and he's turned into like three or four different players. But, you know, the Wiseman thing and, you know, Kuminga's a guy not making much, but he was somebody who you decided couldn't be in your rotation. He could have been a young player playing a lot of minutes.
He could have been. First this, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ. FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station in the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Let me say this, because I hear that, and it's a fair sort of point, the idea that the Warriors have opportunities to find people to put around Steph. Let me remind, every time someone does this, though, if you still want Jordan Poole on the team, if you want Jonathan Kuminga to have actually cooked, and be someone you want to pay $35 million a year to, if James Wiseman could have been someone else, it could have been LaMelo Ball, you do any of those things, Jimmy Butler's not on this team. Jimmy Butler doesn't fit.
Well, Kuminga would this year, because Kuminga wouldn't have gotten his raise yet.
This year.
Right.
But you wouldn't be able to do anything with him going forward. You wouldn't be able to, you're allowed to do these things if Joe Lacob wants to pay $8 for every dollar.
And he might.
And he might.
Yep.
But again, like, yes, the Warriors have had those opportunities, but I will argue this. When you achieve so much that you get players to that level, they're 35 years old, and you still want to pay them $50 or $60 million a year, you do get penalized for being good. The Warriors have absolutely been penalized for being good. Like, I mean, this idea that players that you drafted and you developed counting the same dollar for dollar on your cap as somebody that you sign as a free agent, I think is crazy.
Well, it allows you to go over the cap. You do have to pay a tax penalty. But, for example, Jonathan Kuminga, the team holds his bird rights. So if they decide that they want to sign Jonathan Kuminga, they can sign him to whatever they want, and they're allowed to go over the cap because they have his bird rights. Now, they do have to pay tax penalties for going over the cap, but you're allowed to do that. And so it really hurts the smaller market, smaller money teams more, because oftentimes they can't afford to pay that much money in tax penalties as well as paying the player that much money as well.
Yeah. No, I have felt that for years. That the Warriors dynasty, I mean, obviously wonderful, and you have an owner who is willing to extend in all of that, but like in the end, they started to get penalized for that in the effort to keep Steph Curry, Draymond Green, and Klay Thompson all together. Like, I think that should be a different salary structure with the way that counts against your cap. I've always thought that. And so I just, you know, looking back on what happened with the Warriors this year, I think we end up feeling that a little bit, where you look at it and go, damn, this team didn't have, like, Steph goes out for a couple games, they couldn't even win a game. You didn't have anyone that you could stick out there. Yeah, you have no one that you could stick out there. You get, like, almost $110 million wrapped up into two players.
Right.
You are very limited in what you can go do.
You had a similar situation in 2022, but the difference was those guys who you played, Gary Payton II, and I'm looking here, he was making $1.9 million, and he went out there and he played great. He played every game. He was fantastic. Jordan Poole was on that team, and he was making not much more. He was making 2.1. So in the championship year, you had a similar situation. Steph was making 46. Klay was making 38. And Wiggins was making 31. Draymond's making 24. So your top four were taking almost all of the cap space, but the difference was the low-money players on that team actually contributed and played well.
Yeah.
And on this team this year, they just didn't.
Yep. I mean, but again, and that's part of that is youth.
Yep.
Part of that is the way, I'm not like totally taking the Warriors out of it. Part of it is the way you develop your players. But the choice that Steve Kerr ended up making, he's like, look, we have to make this all about Steph Curry. I totally get that. And when you do that, you're going to get stuck. You're going to get stuck if someone gets hurt, and someone's very likely to get hurt because they do not have the luxury in big games to only play their big players 30 minutes a night. They'll lose.
Right.
They'll lose.
Which is what happened where you had to chase it against Houston because you kind of punted game five, and then game six at home, you didn't get it done. And then now you're in chase mode. One just final piece before we pivot, the whole idea about rest and whatnot. Oklahoma City had 9 days off before game one against Denver, and they lost. They came out after a 9-day break, and they lost the basketball game.
I think sometimes that much is worse.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't want that much. You got to stay in your flow. Speaking of staying in the flow, we spent most of the day still reacting to not only the Brock Purdy contract, but the Fred Warner news that broke just a few hours ago. 3-year, $63 million extension. He is now, once again, the highest paid linebacker in the NFL. Welcome to your car if you're just getting off of work. 888-957-9570. We'll take your calls on the Purdy and Warner situations throughout the 5 o'clock hour. 888-957-9570 is the number. I love this deal for both sides. To me, there was never a question that Brock Purdy was going to get over $50 million. I think the Niners achieved two things here. I think they got this kind of quote-unquote as low as you could have hoped, considering who the other players are that are on this quarterback list, and he is way more accomplished than some of them. But more importantly, add in Kittle and Warner, and the 49ers, it appears, are braced and set now for a drama-free offseason, which is something that they sorely, sorely need after what's happened the last few years.
Yeah, let's just get out there and run around in shorts and start to work through our practices, and you get the timer up there on the scoreboard in period four and period six, and then the kicker runs out for a little bit, and we can all get out there with our hats and our sunscreen and watch these guys run around, and we don't have to worry about where is so-and-so, and will so-and-so actually sign, or will he hold out all the way until training camp? Can you imagine getting into it, going through the rest of the spring, through the summer, all the contracts are signed, all of the drafted players eventually will also be signed, the undrafted guys in camp, and now we can just talk about depth chart and football, and you can look at the schedule, and you can get excited about actual sports things instead of contracts and agents and social media.
And then I look at it this way, too. If you look at the two contracts that just came down, Friday, Brock Purdy, Monday, Fred Warner, I absolutely believe what the Niners just did was effectively throw a 1-2 punch on each side of the ball's future leader. And I think that when you look at the way this deal is structured, I, if it was even possible, Dibs, became an even bigger fan of Brock Purdy when that deal came down, because this was handled so maturely by Brock Purdy. He didn't have his deal yet. He still came to voluntary workouts in the offseason and now accepts a deal that does bring context into play. I'm not sitting here arguing that he should have made $58 million. I'm arguing that he could have. He would not have been, he and his agent would not have been crazy people to sit there and say, I deserve more than Tua. I deserve more than Trevor Lawrence. In fact, there was a tweet from Pelissero or Rap Sheet or one of those guys a few months ago that were like, well, You know, Brock's agency is aware of the fact that Dak Prescott makes $60 million, and, you know, they like to be in that neighborhood because, well, let's be honest, he's kind of owned Dak Prescott. And right now has accomplished more than Dak Prescott. He could have done those things. He chose not to do any of those things. I know you don't love this, but this is the way my brain received a lot of this. The fact that this broke Friday afternoon tells me that the agent didn't feel the super need to do a victory lap, which to me, I'm going to process as likely. I can't say for sure, but I think Brock drove this bus. I think Brock drove this bus, because if I think an agent drove this bus, I think that they would have been more stubborn. But Brock drove this bus. I'm not saying this is a discount, but this is a deal that slots him in a spot that I think is on the lower end of what this window could have been. Like, if you were to guess what he was going to get, at least going into this season, this is on the lower end of that spectrum, considering who else is out there and what they're making. No?
Perhaps, but I don't really know. I don't think there's another contract that's going to be signed, so this is kind of it. But if you think about what's already been signed, where he slots relative to the comps, forget what you think he's worth. That's not the way this works. It works where the market is set, and if you're a player that's better than the guy who's making top value, you can argue that you deserve more because totally. I'm better than that player. So I'll even allow that, you know, potentially he could have been up around 57, 58, whatever the number is where you think or Kyle Strong and his agent thinks that they could have deserved or commanded. I look at this situation and think, it's May 19th, and Brock Purdy probably really, really, really wanted this done and put to bed. So if he ranks his motivations in all this, money might be number two. Money might actually be number three.
I just think he put it. I feel like he checked his ego at the door.
I think that he looked at it and said, the number one most important thing to me in all of this is to get it done so that I can go play football. And if that means, okay, you know what, Brock, we could probably get you to $58 million, but you're going to have to really, you're going to have to play chicken. We're going to have to call multiple bluffs, forget OTAs, and you know what, you're probably going to be late to camp. Mm-hmm. I think maybe August 23rd. How does August 29th feel for you, Brock? Are you willing to wait until September 2nd, and then we can get from 53 to 58 and a quarter? And if he says that, and you look at it and you're Brock Purdy, you're like, no, it's not worth it for me to go through three more months of this and not play football.
It's just amazing to me how many times you hear people kind of still unable to check history at the door. In addition to ego, check this out from our text line. Just texted in a short time ago. I think this is 408. Willard, stop it. If you had a chance at having Trevor, meaning Lawrence, or Purdy on the 49ers, with everyone else on the team being the same, give York that option and see what he does. Oh, I know exactly what he would do. It ain't what you think. It's amazing to me how many opinions dive that hard. You still are on the premise that Trevor Lawrence is better than Brock Purdy solely because of where they're picked. One the first, the other the last. Give me one other shred of evidence. And yes, you can play the, well, we're not, like, their teams are not the same. Sure. I get that. I understand that. But you cannot find one other piece of evidence that Trevor Lawrence is a better player than Brock Purdy. And even if you think that, still not how contract negotiations work. It's not how those conversations go. They're like, if Brock Purdy signed before Trevor, Trevor's getting less. Trevor's getting less. That's the comp. You put the numbers side by side, and it's not even close. But I can answer that one as clear as day. If you offered me those two quarterbacks, I would definitely rather have Brock Purdy on the team than Trevor Lawrence.
I'd rather have Brock Purdy on this team because you know he works in the situation. And this is where I always try to inject context into the conversation, because Trevor Lawrence is a different kind of quarterback. And in his, 5 years in Jacksonville, he's endured multiple head coaches, multiple different star receivers, and I use star in quotations. He's been through a lot more adversity just based on situation and team. than Brock Purdy has. Now, that's no fault to Brock. It's not his fault that he's got a better coach and a better offensive line and more talent around him. It's up to Brock to take that situation and thrive, and he's done so.
I think that we're forgetting, like at times where Jacksonville, and I don't want to go too deep down this hole, but we're forgetting at times where they were the last 3 years. This is a team that won a playoff game 3 years ago. This is a team that was the favorite to win the division last year. This is a team that had the lead in the division with very few games to go. And they keep finding ways to crater. Am I putting that all on Trevor? Of course not. Of course not. But you watch the games. I watch the games. Brock Purdy has performed at a higher level in the NFL than Trevor Lawrence has. Period. He just has.
Yeah.
So you can context this thing to death if you want. But the bottom line is Brock Purdy is a more accomplished player. I personally think he's a better player. He's got better legs. He sees the field better. All of those things. That equals a better contract if you want to be stubborn about it. But he's not. He's not. Like a lot, it's funny. It's something that I think got dismissed through the months when people would like look at Brock and you're like, oh, that rosy cheeked little guy, he'll take less. And we were like, he's got an agent. He's gonna twist their arm a little bit. And you know what? I think he did check his ego at the door. He's still got 53 a year, but he checked his ego at the door. Because he had every right to go in there and try to get more than Tua and Trevor, and that is what players usually do. It's what that is the history of this league.
Sure.
It's what they usually do.
But it doesn't mean that that's the right thing for the player and the situation. And I look at this situation, and I see a guy who got a nice little raise, nice little bump, and he also now gets to show up a week from tomorrow for phase three of the OTAs, and he gets to be a quarterback who's got a contract. And that, to me, has tremendous value when you're trying to be a player who's going to lead a team in a season where you're looking to bounce back. So the best way to bounce back, if you're Brock Purdy in the Niners, is to have everybody signed, sealed, and delivered, be on the field together, and start the process of turning the 6-11 around. And the most important guy in all that, among people who wear helmets, is Brock Purdy. So, yeah, you could have maybe held out for an extra couple, two, three, four, whatever the offers were. I don't think that he ever was going to get 60 and a dollar to be ahead of Dak. I mean, maybe. And if you wanted to get to that point, maybe
it that way is what
he could have. But
could've.
The way we've
so
seen
he get some credit
the history
for the fact
of the Niners,
didn't.
The history of the Niners is they're going to try to win the deal.
Yeah.
So if Brock was going to get the win, he probably would have to go full Ayuk and wait until September.
But don't, like, he gets credit for that. That's all,
sure.
That's all I'm saying.
And I also agree with you that this is probably more of a Brock call than the agent.
Yeah.
Because agents tend to want to, they also want to win the deal. But the agent works for the player, not the other way around. So if the player says, you know what, Kyle Strong, and you're my agent, they're offering 53, let's get a full no trade. And get me a whole bunch of that up front, and I'll do it. And Kyle's like, but Brock, I think I could get you 58 if you be patient.
No.
And Brock says, no, I want to play football. 53 is enough.
And that's when Kyle said to Brock, fine, but we tweeting it on Friday afternoon.
Yeah, because I'm so embarrassed. I'm embarrassed. I can't even show my face in the agent luncheon.
You're over.
All the guys are going to laugh at me.
You're overstating and being sarcastic with my opinion.
I am.
And I get that.
Yeah.
You and I are going to disagree on this one to the end. Like
And I do think that there's a fraternity of agents.
Yes.
And other agents are probably calling each other going, dude, you see Strong and only got him 53?
Dude, I'm telling you, that stuff is thought about.
No, I get it.
That is absolutely thought about. And this, you know what I like, where my mind goes is, and you and I have talked about this before. Remember when Tom Brady got.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hosting season's here. Are your windows guest ready? Early access to Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale is on now. Save up to 40% site-wide and get a free measure. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Early access to Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale is happening now. Shop and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
There were pictures of him with Ronaldo. He went overseas, and they were talking out at midfield after a match. And there was Tom Brady and Cristiano Ronaldo. And people were like, huh, okay, right, two big stars. And then people started putting pieces together. And they're like, wait a minute, that soccer team is owned by the same people that own the Tampa Bay Bucks. What's going on out there? And then, oh, the ball starts moving. And the next thing you know, what happens? Oh, we got a coach fired. And to me, this doesn't make me right, but I believe there's something here to be said. Did Tom want to be filmed so that messaging could be sent? In other words, owners of the Bucks, now everybody knows that I'm here, and if you would like me to continue playing football, because I could retire, if you want me to continue playing football, then maybe you're going to do it my way. Tom Brady can go see Cristiano Ronaldo wherever the hell he wants. Why did he do it out at midfield? That is the way celebrities think. They know that everything that they do, puzzle pieces start getting put together, and then people will draw opinions from that. So I don't know this, that, or the other about exactly how this tweet all came to be. But, like, yeah, Friday afternoon is not where you put the top line of your resume. It's not what you do. Especially not when it's a deal that's been talked about for a year. This was a highly anticipated deal.
Well, ever since they lost the Super Bowl.
So why would he tuck it in there? I find
you're
fascinating.
You're fixated on this.
Not fixated. I think it's a thing. And the larger point I'm trying to make is Brock deserves a ton of credit because I think he took a deal that was probably not exactly the deal the agent wanted to take. Just my take.
Right.
That's all.
But it's his life. And so I give him, I guess credit's not the right way to describe it, but it's clear that he took a deal that he's comfortable with and he's gets it done in a time where he is probably happy that it's over. And, you know, you've been in a bunch of negotiations. Sometimes you don't have the stomach for it when you get all the way down to the wire and you're trying to, like, get X and Y and Z. And, you know, the company's pushing back and they want to give you A and B and C. And you get down and it can get uncomfortable. And sometimes,
hell yeah,
sometimes it's better to just, for the individual, to say, you know what, let's meet in the middle and let's just be done with this because I don't want to have another phone conversation with you, Kyle Strongin. I want to get enough to where my family can be happy and this gets it done. So let's just wrap this up. Even though he might be getting advice of, you know what, Brock, I think we can get another little bit of this and we can get some more of that if you bear with me.
Hey, Lucas, can you find, what was that thing that Jed York said that got everybody going last year? Essentially admitting that they had a quarterback who was going to reset the market. Did he or did he not actually use those words? I'm trying to remember. Do you remember the comment I'm talking about?
I do, and I'm looking to find it right here.
Did he use those words? They have a quarterback, essentially, that we think might reset the market. I don't want to put words in his mouth. I don't remember exactly what the word choice was, but it got everybody going that York came out and publicly stated, yeah, we like Brock Purdy, and we're about to break off a huge contract for him. I would love to hear that again now, knowing that Brock tucked himself right in between, right underneath Trevor Lawrence and Tua Tagovailoa. Because, yeah, I would like, all I'm saying now on this, Dibs, is I would like to highlight Brock Purdy's leadership in this process. I hope 49er fans don't get so consumed with, oh, we either think Brock is good or we don't think he's good, and so he's not worth 53 or he's this or that or the other. Hopefully it doesn't get lost in that what I think Brock Purdy just did was he's done a wonderful job for himself, but he also took the team into account, which is what Tom Brady did for years, and I think is step one to winning. And I think it's a huge deal.
Yeah, so instead of this deal hamstringing their ability to add around him, it in fact might help it as you get further down the line. I found something from an ESPN report. It said, Jed York believes Purdy could, quote, reset the market for quarterbacks with his extension, and this suggests that his new deal would be a significant step up from previous contracts, blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
And York said that he believes Purdy's a top 10 quarterback and all the rest of it. I'll see if I can find more in this ESPN.com report.
ESPN, what was the date?
February 10th, 2025.
Okay, February of this year.
York said he recently saw Kyle Strongin and remains hopeful a deal can be reached. Quote, I know we want Brock to be here for a long time and we'll do everything we can to make that work. Jed York speaking I think that was at the Super Bowl.
Okay.
It was in New Orleans.
All right. So 3 months ago, he did use the words reset the market.
Yep.
And then he took $53 million less than Tua. Okay.
$53 million less than Tua?
He took $53 million, dot, dot, dot.
Oh, okay, dot.
Less,
I was going to say.
Than Tua Tagovailoa.
York said, Brock is just a tremendous human being. I'm looking forward to a long-term partnership. Jed York from the Super Bowl in New Orleans.
Like, again, all I'm trying to say right now is great job, Brock. I hope 49er fans appreciate the way this all went down because that tells me that Jed said it after they had already gone 6-11. The bad year had already happened, and he still used the phrase reset the market. And then Brock went out and took seventh place. I think this is wonderful leadership. I'm not going to call it a discount. I'm going to call it maturity. That's what I'm going to call it. Brock Purdy was very mature with the way he handled this whole thing. He showed leadership. He left room for teammates. Do not get caught up in, they gave that guy $53 million. Don't do that. He could have gotten more. No doubt in my mind. If his agent wanted to play that a certain way, he could have gotten more. And my brain doesn't need to be yours. My brain will go to, that's why that broke on a Friday afternoon. That's just how I feel. And Florio, which one, Lucas, do you know which Florio is the one where he talks about that? Like, he did talk about the fact that that's usually where you put bad news. I don't think this is bad news. I just don't think Kyle Strongin wants to use this as the number one piece on his resume. Because it's not even about Brock, right? It's not about how much money Kyle made out of this. It's about each one of these deals for an agent is an advertisement to all of the other future prospective players that they could represent. And every player wants the agent that gets the most money. That's what so many of them are looking for. So I just, in the end, what I'm saying is I love the way this went down. I love it. I love it for the 49ers.
Yeah, credit John Lynch and Parag Marate and whoever else had their hand in this contract, because this is the way the 49ers probably wanted it to go. And you could talk about how, you know, you're going to reset the market. And I'm looking at a piece from Cam Inman from the Mercury News, and this is from March when Jed York was talking, and he said, this is at the owners' meetings in Orlando. It's what the market is. Brock is going to ask for something that no one has ever asked for before. I don't know how many players are making over $40 million as a quarterback right now. The answer is 9. And, you know, Jed York says, when we signed Jimmy several years ago, yes, it was the largest deal in history for 3 minutes. But Jimmy was at 27 and a half. That's what the market is, and you have to accept the reality of the world. To me, the quarterback is the most important position, not just in football, but all of sports, and those guys should be paid a lot of money. Jed York at the owners' meetings in March.
He said that Brock is going to ask for something that no one's ever asked for before. Did he say that?
That, I believe, is the quote from the piece from Cam Inman.
Okay. But he didn't.
He's going to ask for something that no one has ever asked for before, York said without trepidation.
Yeah, but
this episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hosting season's here. Are your windows guest ready? Early access to Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale is on now. Save up to 40% site-wide and get a free measure. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing. No showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Early access to Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale is happening now. Shop and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Didn't.
Well, he might have, and the team countered with something less than that, and then they met in the middle. I'm sure Brock didn't come in at 53, and the team said, done.
I bet he didn't come in at 61 either. I bet he didn't. You know what I mean? Like, that's and by the way, even if he did, I don't care. Like, this is what he took. This is what he took. And I don't think he had to. And so I love that. I love that. And I know some of you don't think he's worth 53, and that's fine. But if you look at the cadence of this whole thing, you will notice that especially over the last 5 to 7 years, this is the way quarterbacks do it. They're going to come in a little bit higher. Now, all of a sudden, this offseason, we've had two quarterbacks that essentially have come in and said, you know what? I'd like to acknowledge my team here. Because when was it that Josh Allen signed his extension? How long ago was that? That was this offseason, right?
Yeah, it was right around the draft, I think.
Right, and he took less than Dak Prescott, at least if you want to go on average annual, which I know is not the end-all, be-all. But, and
he got the largest guarantee in history.
Largest guarantee,
yeah.
But not the most average annual. And he spoke to it afterward and said, I'm not, like, I don't need that ego boost. I want my team to win. Maturity. Way to go, Josh. Brock followed suit. Same thing. They could have played this like Nick Bosa, like Brandon Ayuk.
Right.
They brought a bunch of ego to the party. Messes things up.
Well, and they got money. They got more money.
I'm not mad at them because the Niners brought ego to the party too. So I'm not saying it's one side's fault, but they brought ego to the party. Josh Allen did not. Brock Purdy did not. I give them credit for that.
Yeah. You give them credit, and ultimately, you do what makes you happy in a contract negotiation. And if you are driven by the dollar and only the dollar and nothing but the dollar, then you grind it out all the way into August and September. And if you're Brandon Ayuk and Nick Bosa, you make it kind of uncomfortable for the team where I think Nick signed, Baldy was saying this when we had him on Friday, I think he signed on a Thursday or a Friday.
It was a Wednesday or a Thursday
And then
before the game.
Correct.
In Pittsburgh on Sunday.
Correct.
Yep.
So, you know, he chose to go that route. And, you know, the rap on the Boses is that they get every last dollar. And if that's the way you want to do it, you're allowed to. It's a negotiation. And Nick had the stronger leverage. The Brandon Ayuk one's a head scratcher because, and not only because we know now that he got hurt, but, you know, you already had a drafted receiver and you had Deebo Samuel. And so that one feels a little bit weird to me that, you know, they played that all the way to the wire, and then he got that much money at the buzzer.
Yeah, it didn't need to go that way.
Right.
The Niners misplayed that one badly.
Completely.
By the way, so this morning with the Joes, this is what Mike Florio said. In theory, again, details still to come on this deal, but insinuating that this is a good deal for the Niners, maybe more so than Purdy.
And I don't think it was an accident that this thing got leaked at 5 o'clock Eastern time on a Friday. That's where bad news goes to die, not good news goes to thrive. I think when we start digging into this thing, we're going to realize, hey, you know what? As quarterback contracts go, this is pretty good for the 49ers. It gives them protection. It gives them flexibility. And it forces Purdy to keep proving he can play at a high level.
I totally agree. I totally agree. Again, not that it's a bad deal for Purdy, but those of you who sort of feel like the Niners, quote, overpaid, like, they didn't. The other option would be to just go get a new quarterback. And if that's your opinion, that's fine.
Right. It's not their opinion.
That's the other option. Like, this is as low, I think, as about as low as it could have gone.
It's probably right in there. And, you know, Brock, I don't think that it's necessarily a bad deal for a guy making $1 million. And
no,
he comes out and he's making $165 million over the first 3 years. And that's where Mike Florio is talking about the flexibility, because you pay out almost two-thirds of the guarantee in the first 3 years. And if it's not working after the first 3 years, and maybe the whole thing's not working, if you have three straight years and you're 6-11, let's just play this out hypothetically.
Yep.
So that would be four straight years of 6-11. Well, Brock Purdy's going to be gone, Shanahan's gone, Lynch is gone, and you're starting the whole thing over.
Oof.
So that would be worst-case scenario, is you get three more years of Brock, and it's like, whoa, we made a mistake, and we paid him too much, but you have an out at that point where you can take a dead cap hit, you can eat some money, and then you can bring in your new GM and your new coach, and they're going to find their new quarterback, and you start the whole thing over.
I hope that does not happen.
I agree with you.
By the way, I don't think it will happen. I think it could be even accelerated, because this year everything is set up for the 49ers to be good. I don't really know much about their roster yet. There's so many Wilsies on the roster. They could be awesome, or they could really struggle in a bunch of spots. So I can't even analyze this yet. You know what I mean? People will be like, ooh, yeah, Mykal Williams on the edge. You have no idea if he's any good or not. He might be amazing. He might be the rookie of the year. He might also be a complete bust. I have no idea what they're going to get out of this group. But the schedule alone suggests that if Brock Purdy is who I think he is, they're going to win most of their games. That's what the schedule suggests. There just aren't enough sort of like craters in that schedule to create a problem if a team is relatively healthy and playing relatively well. I'm not even saying they need to be a Super Bowl contender, but out of that division and with that schedule, this team, I think it's fair for fans to look at this team and think, wow, what a huge disappointment and failure if they don't make the playoffs this year. They barely play any good teams. At least our perception of those teams.
Right.
I'm sure some of them will surprise.
Well, if you base it on 2025 over-under win totals as the metric for strength of schedule, they have the easiest strength of schedule of the 32 teams. And I do think that's a good way to look at it. Not how they did last year, but how the odds makers, people who make millions and billions of dollars doing this, how do they see these teams? And oh, by the way, the Niners over-under for wins is 10.5.
10.5.
10.5. Even though you've got a bunch of new players, your top wide receiver is Juwan Jennings, no disrespect, but you don't have Debo, you don't have Ayuk probably for a month. McCaffrey should be back, and you have a 37-year-old left tackle, 10.5.
Wasn't it 11.5 last year at this time?
I think it might have been,
right? 11.5?
Yeah.
And we both took under. I'd take the over on 10.5.
Bills, Eagles, Chiefs, and Ravens are 11.5 this year.
Yeah.
And then Lions, Niners are the next two. So they're tied for fifth in win total.
I'd take the over.
Yeah, I probably would too. And, you know, last year I love to use the phrase scheduled loss.
Yes.
And I talked about that Buffalo game.
Do we have any this year?
I'd have to look, but I didn't really see any, because your travel spots are mostly good. And there's not too many short weeks or short weeks. I apologize, Lo'Neal. So the schedule, not only are the opponents not daunting, but the stack, the way it lays out, you are road heavy early, but other than that, you don't have too many really tough spots.
Yeah, confirmed 11.5 in the offseason last year with the over-under. You know, I also wonder about this. There's been so much made about, okay, Brock Purdy, if the 49ers give him north of $50 million, they're not going to have room to do the other things that they need to do. I could see both arguments here. Like, some people will go, well, yeah, look at the list of people that they just let go. They just dumped Debo Samuel and Leonard Floyd, and right, they let Aaron Banks walk. And we can go through that list of people. Here's the other thing, though. Can't I argue that they did sign him for over 50, and they extended Kittle, and they extended Warner, and they extended D'Amador Lenore? Like, this contract is not getting in the way of anything
right
that they really want to do. Yes, they had to get cheaper at some spots. That's part of the NFL. That list that Evan read off during the crossover, I'm like, none of those players played well last year, and a lot of them didn't play at all. So I don't, like, this whole, like, the Niners had a bunch of talent walk out the door. Yes, they did. But not talent that was actually talenting. It wasn't doing anything for them in this moment. At least it wasn't last year.
Yeah. I mean, Aaron Banks is a guy who got a lot of money. I would have loved to keep him, but the price that he got from the Packers was semi-astronomical, and so too rich for your blood. And you're right about the turnover of any NFL team. It's natural. The attrition is going to happen. And also, if you look at this contract in the future, the salary cap goes up every year. So even if it's 53, and it's not 53 every year, by the time you get to 2029 and 2030, if he's still on this deal, that's going to be a relative bargain.
For sure.
Google it.
I do like to Google it. I like to Google it sometimes. When in doubt, Google it.
Just a little bit. Yeah.
I was looking up today. Look it up. Google it.
Maybe it's the pause that I love so much about that. Look it up. Google it.
I was looking up today. Look it up. Google it.
Strong. Strong Google it.
You know what I just saw? Not on Google.
No.
But it's on the internet.
Yep. The internet.
I saw Draymond Green say, I don't feel like I lost my matchup with Julius Randle. I lost my matchup with Julius Randle.
I didn't see that part of the Draymond Green show.
Yep. That's on the Draymond Green show.
I saw a clip earlier where he was talking about, you know, why they're still, you know, going to be competitive next year. And I actually was buying what he was putting down. He said having a full year of this core together, there could be some upgrades in the offseason.
Yep.
But,
and you hope, by the way.
Yes, and he actually added that. Right. He said, you know, injuries are a thing, of course, but having them all together will hopefully make it so you're not playing playoff games in February. And he said
Sure.
Because this year, they were straight chasing it. Once they got Jimmy Butler and you're a game below 500, it's like, okay, it's go time. And with an older team, you don't want go time to be in February. You want it to be in April.
What did everybody sound like on Thursday? I was out Thursday and Friday, obviously. By the way, that was an excursion that was planned months ahead of time. If I had known that it was going to be...
I should have done a better job of tamping down people who were like, Willard's running scared.
Oh, was there a lot of that?
And there's a little bit of
it.
And I said, you're damn right he is.
Yeah.
Captain Positive done flow the coop.
I'm not sitting here listening to everybody's doom and gloom crap.
There was some doom and gloom, but Thursday was really highlighted by the exit interview sound. So we were playing, because every player spoke.
What stood out?
I mean, a lot of it. Steph Curry, the real headline was Steph saying, yeah, we were kind of like Sunday. Like, he wouldn't know until he did a couple of tests, but...
He was admitting that he would have played.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't know for sure, but had he been able to go live with it and get into a couple of live sessions, he kind of liked where he was heading toward Sunday. So that was kind of heartbreaking.
That's too bad.
Yeah. Jimmy was good, and you know, Draymond actually was very, very reflective, and he was, you know, kind of honest, like what he was saying about Julius Randle, and, you know, just tip of the cap to Minnesota. Minnesota was really good. And I look at that game five, and, well, they shoot 64% from the floor or something. It's like Minnesota was really good in that series. And, you lost the chef, and game three was there for the taking, and you didn't. And that ultimately was kind of the end of things, but I was giving them their flowers. And also Pods in game five, he was amazing. And I'm... glad you weren't here because I was doing a big mea culpa because I was.
Yeah, don't you think
I would?
There you go.
Yeah,
I would have. Like, we spent all day that day arguing about that guy.
Yeah, and it doesn't mean that you were right.
No, not
but it
at
does
all.
Mean
like,
that.
I mean,
what I said about Pods.
It's one game,
and then that one game he played in Game Five, he was awesome.
Right,
and he was like keeping him in that thing.
I'm just trying to figure out why the previous two games suddenly meant that everybody hates the guy, and I know. The emotion of the moment, you don't hate him and all that, but this is what we do, and these are young players, and the bottom line is, that's where I feel the Warriors need more consistency, and there's every reason to believe that he will be at least one of the options for more consistency next year. And the only way to do that, and actually here's one of the things that I like most about where Pajemski is, Like, he has that irrational confidence in himself, although maybe not quite all the way formed yet. He talks like that. I think he acts like that in practice. But damn it, in the night, what did he finish up with in that game? 28, 29, 27, like that, yeah. 26? Whatever he had. He had that one shot that he was about to fire on, and at the last minute he turned and threw it at somebody's shins, and it went out of bounds, and Kerr grabbed him off the court and screamed at him.
Yep.
And sat him down.
Shoot the ball.
Right. And right, exactly. Just like Die Hard. She's Tim Finster.
Yep.
Shoot the glass.
Yep.
Yes. And Steve Kerr, I saw him after the game talking about the one thing I want to say to that guy. When you get back, you shoot when it's open. Period.
At 28.
You're not waiting for anything. Shoot the ball.
Yep.
Because he does. He has to become one of those guys. He's got to become a reliable kind of third/fourth scorer. That's what this team needs. They need a little more depth, and they need to be able to sit Jimmy Butler and Steph Curry on the bench at times and let them watch basketball and rest without having the game completely fall apart. That's what they need.
Yeah, the non-Steph minutes. We've been saying it for years and years, but the other takeaway from the exit interviews was Jonathan Kuminga, who I thought was terrific, and he said he was asked about, you know, the relationship with Steve Kerr, and he said, yeah, you know, there were some ups and downs this year, and he went on to kind of elaborate on how, you know, he just tried to stay ready and all the rest of it, but, you know, the whole idea of ups and downs was uttered in there, and also Draymond, sure. And Draymond and Steph both, as a part of their comments, said things to the extent of, yeah, you know, we think nothing but the best for Jonathan, you know, whether it's here or somewhere else.
Yeah, they sort of opened that door.
Yeah, it was here or somewhere else. They both kind of threw that out there, and so it was like, oh.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're acknowledging his restricted free agency.
Yep.
So, you know, you don't want to speak for the guy. You also don't want to speak for the organization either.
Right.
So you have to thread that needle, and so I think they did. So...
Yeah, and we can get into it more as we get into the real offseason, but they're in an interesting spot because only Brooklyn has the cap room to give him, let's just say, $25 million. They're the only team that, as of now, has that room, and the Warriors can sign and trade him at a higher number because they have the Bird rights. So
right.
They could sign him to 4 years and $120 million, for example, and then trade that $30 million deal to another team and get back, you know, Cam Johnson and a $9 million guy, or, you know, something of that ilk, you know what I mean? So the Warriors have some interesting, they don't have a lot of flexibility, but the Kuminga piece is where they can maybe make the most impact if they decide not to keep him.
Yeah, but then again, I mean, yeah, that player that you bring back, I mean, we're heading right back to checkbook championshipville.
Yep.
I mean, those numbers are going to get real, real high when you got two players making north of $50 million a year.
And I don't know if you saw the picture from the Valkyries game, but there's a shot of Kuminga and Joe Lacob
sitting next to each other.
And they're like, both heads are back and they are having the time of their lives and they are laughing. And so the one thing we have to remember in the Kuminga conversation is that the owner seems to really like him. And that matters.
Oh, I think he more than seems it.
Yeah.
He does.
No, for sure. For sure. So.
I don't know what what do you do about that?
Well,
like, I mean, you have no control over what someone else will offer him. I don't even know if the Warriors want to lowball and keep him. Do they? The one thing I was comfortable with that, if I were Steve Kerr, I would have said this at some point during the season to calm everybody down. But he basically... And I don't know if he said it this way during the season. He was like, if Jonathan Kuminga's on this team next year, I will absolutely be working my butt off to figure out ways to integrate him and be on the floor with Draymond and Jimmy and Steph all at the same time. But we couldn't do that because he was hurt. And then when he came back, we're in the middle of our flow and we didn't have time. Like,
He actually said that.
I think he said that clearly in the exit interview.
What I'm
saying is, I know he danced around that in ways in the regular season, But I wish instead of sort of highlighting, A, we got something going here, and B, the analytics say that Jonathan and Draymond and Jimmy aren't playing well together. I wish there was that follow-up highlight sentence of, and we don't have time to work on it right now. We want to. We think Jonathan's amazing. He's clearly talented. But we don't have the time because we are in desperation mode right now.
And you don't practice, it, too.
Right. It might have helped some Kuminga fans if he had said that in that way in March or April.
Yeah, you're probably right about that. And, you know, just some of the Kuminga fans are also of the mind that Steve Kerr does not develop young players. So that became just another log on that fire of, you know, of course he's not going to play. Kuminga's young, and this is what Kerr does. And so that became part of that narrative as well. But he made that pretty clear in the exit interview. Like, you know, we just didn't have time. We didn't have time. And then he got hurt. Or he was hurt before Jimmy came.
And then when he came back, we didn't have, yeah.
Right, we had no time then. So,
like, they tried. It's not like he benched Jonathan right away. They tried.
Yeah, and there's no practice time either to figure it out.
They did not like what they were seeing, and they did not have time to work it out. That's, I just put it this way. I think I heard everything he said, obviously, during the regular season. Most of the time he was saying it to us. I didn't hear him use the word time very much, and I think he used that a lot more in those exit interviews heading into the weekend.
It sounds a little...
Might have changed it a little bit.
Well, and I don't think that he's going to try to make excuses for it. And, you know, the reality is when you got Jimmy, he was hurt. And when he came back, you probably only had one or two practices ever because it's travel, it's game, it's just the rigors of the NBA schedule. And you get to game 75, and Jimmy and Steph and Draymond, they don't want to go out there and practice. It's like, I've played 75 games. Can I just, like, for Jimmy, it's coffee, pizza, and kids. That's his thing. He's like, can I just have some coffee and play with my kids and have a couple slices, coach? Do you really need me to run, like, 5-on-0 with Kuminga?
See, I processed Domino's as the actual game, not the pizza. Did you process it as the pizza?
I thought it was the pizza. I thought he said later,
coffee,
like,
Domino's, and kids. The Domino's is the actual game, isn't it?
Okay, I thought he I thought he later had said coffee, pizza, and kids.
I don't know.
Maybe he gets pizza for the kids. I don't know. I might be getting it wrong.
Jimmy Butler's just eating pizza all day and would not have a game. Like, that's probably
I wonder why he's not looking to score.
Exactly. Come on, dog. You're sluggish. Hey, Lucas, what are you doing next hour? What's happening?
We're going to start with the crossover, where you guys actually got the breaking news of the day.
Yep.
Start with the beginning of that segment, and then you get the Fred Warner news. And then, in the back half of the next hour, you guys had so many great conversations, different ones, about different aspects of Brock Purdy's extension. So you're going to have to find out which one we go with.
Wow.
It's called the tease, people.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So the show had so many great angles, you can't even figure out which one you like the best.
I'm going to have to figure it out.
Okay. All right. That's
got half hour.
Coming up on the game. Good luck to you. It's brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. Lucas standing by with the best of the game. Do you want to do it again tomorrow?
Sure.
Okay. Let's do it again tomorrow. For Dibs, for Lucas. For Ken, I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. That's all you got.
I was looking up today. Look it up. Google it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hosting season's here. Are your windows guest ready? Early access to Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale is on now. Save up to 40% site-wide and get a free measure. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing. No showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Early access to Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale is happening now. Shop and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.